Breaking news. Having Christian friends is not only a positive, but it's also required of you if you're going to call yourself a Christian. I'm Cooper Short. Trigger warning. This is Caffeinated Christianity. That will be two episodes in a row that I've managed to fit in the throat clearing part. Consistency is key. It's a virtue. I take a lot of pride in that. So perhaps it'll be a mainstay. Perhaps it will not. I guess we will see. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is black and the opinions are 100% unqualified. I'm Cooper Short, and I think I just said that. And I'm ready to get after it. So let's get after it. It's a great day to have a great day. Coffee I'm currently drinking. Okay, this sounds bad because it is only the second episode and I'm honestly a little embarrassed. But I am currently not drinking any coffee. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Wow, man, this is called Caffeinated Christianity. Well, first off, don't yell at me. Secondly, I drank some about 10 minutes ago, so I guess you can count that. I had some Starbucks Pike Place. Of course it was black. Pretty decent. Not going to say it was the greatest thing I've ever had in my life, but I did have some, so don't get on me. What are we talking about today? Today we are talking about the value of Christian community, and for me personally, what that looks like in my own daily life. First, the verse. Verse of the episode, and we're actually going to tie this one back into the episode here in a few minutes. Hebrews 10:24-25. But let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. So let's talk about it. Community. If you've ever been to a church in your whole life, chances are you've heard someone very ambiguously talk about community. You need to have community. Well, what does that mean? It sounds almost a little utopian to me. Sometimes they always say you need to have community. I've never thought about community being a singular noun without needing an article. You always talk about serving the community, or I live in a community. But in the Christian context, people just say community, as in, well, my voice just cracked right there. People just say community. Never really quite understood what that meant until I got to college. So let's talk about it. Here's what I could do. I could go through and cite all these verses about how the Bible talks about you need to have community and all these things. Let me hang on three examples, okay? Two are verses, one is an example. Okay, let me go with the verses first. Let's talk about these real quick, and then I'll show you pragmatically what community looks like for me personally. So let's go back to our verse of the episode, Hebrews 10:24-25. But let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. So here, when this is written, the mandate there, as we can tell, it's using a lot of plural inclusive pronouns. Us, we, one another. Well, those are not pronouns, but us, we, one another. Right? The whole point of that verse, and those verses, is that you need to be together, encouraging one another to pursue righteousness, pursue good works, to pursue love in the name of Christ, because the day is drawing near, as in the day of judgment, the day of reconciliation. So it's important that you find community as a Christian, because we need to be doing it as a team. And I'll delve into that a little more in a few minutes. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But let us exhort one another each day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And here's your third example. Jesus had community. Yeah, Jesus, the guy that we talk about consistently, holes in his hands due to doubt on the cross. Yeah, you know him, had sandals. Jesus had community. Did Jesus do anything in the New Testament, generally speaking, by himself? No, he had a group of disciples with him. Now, okay, I will concur. The disciples' true purpose was to be discipled. That's why they're called the disciples. But the fact remains the same. They had community. That's not on accident. Jesus had community. So those are your three examples. There's a couple verses from Hebrews. And literally, Jesus had community. And I know that was really quick. We'll talk about that in a second, about what that really looks like in practice. So let me explain to you what community looks like for me personally. I'm not saying that you have to have this. What I'm telling you is, this is what shape community takes for me. So it's really three main entities. So you've got my home church, First Baptist Church, Kings Mountain, where I go, obviously, while I'm at home. That's one aspect of community, because that's the church that ultimately has raised me, and that's the spiritual environment I find I can grow in the most, simply because I know everyone there, and I've built a network of connections and people there so as to have this abundance of biblical knowledge and perspective that I can get from church. And so what I've got in community at my home church is anytime the door is open, I'm invited to whatever, because we all know each other and it's a loving community. And we have great leadership and our church is doing the right things for the right reasons. And so community in that aspect is that I've really got a pretty solid social spiritual fabric built at FBC to where I feel like I'm really a part of the church family there. The second aspect of my community would be my church here at school, Bellevue Baptist Church. The reason that's community for me is because there's so much of an individualistic aspect of college growth, college spiritual growth, I should say, that it's really nice to have a church I can lean on at school to where I can at least for 1 hour a week hear something spiritual that I'm not having to go dig up myself. It's pretty nice to have someone preach me the Word of God, preach to me the Word of God without me having to go and just look up things and stuff like that, because that's what I have to do on a daily basis if I plan on growing and reading and staying in tune with who Jesus is. So to recap very quickly, community at home for me is my home church, because I really feel like I'm an integral part of that congregation, and it's awesome. Community for me is school, really exists in the form of going to a visiting church or visiting a church, because there I can almost kind of seemingly replace what I've got at home. I'm not relying on my own merit and limited, very, very limited knowledge to grow personally in my faith in Christ. The third aspect of my community, also at school, is SCRAM. Yes, you heard that correctly. SCRAM. S-C-R-A-M, exclamation point. Cooper, what the heck is SCRAM? Well, please, please let me explain. This is where we're going to apply the Bible verses. So buckle up and let's get fired up. So what is SCRAM? Well, first off, let me tell you what SCRAM stands for. S, sanctification. C, community. R, responsibility. A, accountability. M, ministry. Exclamation point, because we're fired up about it. Quick backstory. This summer really had the burden to spread the gospel on campus here at Presbyterian College. I really felt like that was a necessary component if we want to get done what we're asked to do spiritually on campus this year. And so I texted a few guys that I knew personally from last year that I knew were serious about their faith and I knew would be serious about getting the gospel out. And I was like, hey, look, here's my heart. And so we got to school and we developed what's called a discipleship group. Now, in a discipleship group, I hesitate to call it a Bible study, because what we're not doing is studying the Bible. What we're doing is we are holding each other accountable for our own personal faiths, our own personal studies, our own personal ministries, our own personal sins, and what we can do collectively as a group to evangelize campus. So it is a Bible study, as in it's a group of Christians getting together to talk about Jesus stuff. It's not a Bible study, as in we don't get together every week and read, you know, something out of a book. We get together every week, we talk about sin, we talk about ministry updates, we talk about who we're talking to about what, and as it relates to the gospel, we talk about what to do next steps of evangelism on campus. We are basically building a spiritual network for one another to where we basically have a spiritual sounding board and emotional support group all year. So this is where we stick our verses in. But let us consider how to stir one another on to love and good works. So what we do in SCRAM is we basically listen to how everybody's week is going, and we're like, hey man, here's how you could fix this. Here's how you could fix that. Here's how you can deal with this. Here's what the Bible says about this. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, right? So we always make time to meet once a week. We usually meet about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Right now it's on Thursdays, and we do this in order to basically get our spiritual fill up for the week. And last in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. Ultimately, it's an attempt to encourage one another, because being in college and most of us being an athlete and trying to grow spiritually is all overwhelming at times. And you need other people who are coming where you're coming from to give input and advice on how to keep going, because sometimes it's hard to keep going, and you don't want to keep going, to be completely honest. Let's go ahead and apply Hebrews 3:13 to the group as well. Encourage one another each day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. No bones about it, full disclosure, men battle with lust. If you ever meet a guy who says, yeah, man, I don't have a problem with lust, then I don't know who that guy is. He's probably not a real person. If he can effectually say, I don't have a problem with lust, then he's a superhuman. Because if you're a man and you don't have a problem with lust, then you might want to go get that checked out. Anyways, lust is a big thing for dudes. We have a problem with it. I have a problem with it. We all have a problem with it. So that's one of the key tenets of Scram, is we're really holding each other accountable for our battles with lust. And so we encourage one another and try and listen to one another and give advice, especially as it regards to sexual purity in our group, because ultimately that's a battle that we all know how to fight for one another, but we can't always fight it ourselves. And so to build that multifaceted advice column for one another and sounding board and how to effectually battle and effectively battle sin, especially in regards to that sin, is key, as is described as by Hebrews 3:13. So let me tell you who's in Scram, and this will make a whole lot more sense when I tell you in just a second why this type of community is necessary. So you've got Harrison. Harrison is on the golf team at Presbyterian College, and he is really into apologetics. Preston is doing stats for the basketball team, and he is phenomenal at building relationships. Walker is one of the people who helps with the international students. He has an in with the international students, really likes to spend time with them, and he is really all about reasoning and rationalizing the Bible, and he's really into spiritual debate. JC is on the basketball team, and JC is phenomenal at starting relationships. He will talk literally to a wall. If you just tell him a couple facts about the wall, he will start a conversation with it, guaranteed. Chris is on the soccer team, and Chris is really, really good at walking beside people. There are about six guys right now that Chris is personally pouring into, and I can honestly tell you that's better than I'm doing 100%. My really only contribution to the group is that I invented our name, and I'm very good at explaining myself. So there, you see that group is made up of, if we're counting me, made up of six different people. The important thing to note is that we're six different people with six different burdens in six different groups socially at school. We are friends together, but our friends do not really, for the most part, overlap. And so that's important. I'll get to that in a second. So why is it important to have this type of community? Well, it's important to have this type of community for three reasons. One, as a human Christian, notice I said those in that order, as a human Christian, you have to have a network of people to hold you accountable. I cannot be the person I'm supposed to be by myself. I can't do it even with a group of people around me, but they at least hold me accountable, and they call me out and they say, Cooper, here's what you're doing. Here's what you need to do better. Cooper, here's what your life looks like now. Here's what it can look like if you fix these things, right? I can read the Bible for all it's worth, but I can't read everything every day. And so if you're getting five different opinions on your ministry, if five different opinions on your battle with sin, and five different opinions on what life's supposed to look like for you personally as a Christian, A, the work's done for you, and B, it's a lot easier to get by. Reason number two, you need this type of community, because the Bible requires it of us. The Bible requires it of us. Hebrews 10:24-25, we already talked about it. Hebrews 3:13, we already talked about it. The fact that Jesus had a group of people around it. If we want to be like Jesus, then do as Jesus did and have a group of people around you that can help you grow spiritually. Not hard to think about. Reason number three is because it creates a network. All six of us are different people with different burdens and different talents. Some of us are better at things than others. Some of us are worse than... Hold on, how do I say that? Some of us are better than each other at things. Some of us are worse than each other at things. And when you pull all of these talents together, all of these resources together, all of these burdens together, what you create is a multifaceted ministry tool. When you've got someone who's got a lot of questions, I will revert him to Harrison. When you've got someone who's really kind of hard to talk to, I will revert him to JC. When we've got someone who needs to know, you know, where they can get plugged in the community as far as churches are concerned, I will talk to Chris, because Chris knows more about that than I do. The point is, you create a team of people. It's not you trying to battle through spiritual warfare on campus and trying to, you know, you get a gospel presentation and you get a gospel presentation and you get a gospel presentation. We got six people doing six different things, and that is of the utmost importance because it creates a network of spiritually grounded and minded people. So to recap and to basically bring this full circle, what am I saying? I'm telling you that if you're listening to this and you're a Christian and you're not actively involved in community, be that a local church, a small group, a Bible study, a discipleship group, you know, an accountability partner, anything, that needs to change. For one, it needs to change because you're going to see, if you haven't seen it yet, you can't be a Christian alone. God designed us to be in relationship with one another. You can't do it by yourself. I know I can't. And I honestly feel like I'm not unlike a lot of people when it comes to that. So if you don't have community, work on finding it. And if you need to know how to find it, trust me, I know plenty of qualified people. Another reason that I share all this, and this has been on my heart, is because there are people around you that need to be held accountable as Christians, and they may not want to say it, or they may not realize it. There are people around you that are not Christians that need to be reached, and sometimes you're not the best person in reaching them. Jesus' brothers did not believe in him. They did not. You cannot be a prophet in your own land. You know, just to give you an example, one of the guys in my group, I'm not going to say because I know who listens to this podcast, just to kind of keep identities secured. One of the guys in my group is having a trouble with the group. He spends most of his time around in reaching them for Christ. And I've tried to tell him, like, look, if you want one of us to talk to them, we can do it. It probably would mean a lot more coming from someone who they don't have to see every day. And so maybe if you can kind of work that dynamic where you got to understand there are brothers and sisters around you that may need your help. And without community, you will never know that they need your help. It's important. You need community. I can't remember how many points I said I was making right there. You need community because you need community. And you need community because other people need community. And that is two of the most important things that you can think of. So that pretty much rounds out our podcast, right? Community is important and community is necessary. If you're going to grow, you need people watering the plants. And who can water the plants? None other than people who read the same book as you. And that is the Bible. And those are other Christians. Next episode, I really do not know what it's going to be about at this point. I don't plan that far enough ahead. I'm not talented enough to do that. So, you know what? Just coin flip, and when you see it get posted, listen to it or don't listen to it. Completely up to you. Doesn't matter to me that much. Ultimately, just trying to know Christ and reflect Christ. Your CHH song of the episode, the song Grace by Paris Cariz. Let me go ahead and spell that for you. P-A-R-R-I-S space C-H-A-R-I-Z, Paris Cariz. Paris Cariz is a very, very authentic Christian artist. And for lack of a better way of saying it, his music goes hard. Huge fan. So, thanks for tuning in. I will reimburse you for the brain cells, of course. Just drop me a line. Let me know what your MySpace page is, and I'll hit you up. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. I say us. There's not really an... I guess if you count Jesus and I, because Jesus is the one technically running this. And so, yeah, you know what? No, I take that back. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Jesus and I on Twitter at Caff Christ. That's C-A-F-F Christ. And remember, stay humble, stay classy, love always, pray daily, hate sin, and remember, the battle, it's already won. 50. Audi. Oh.